Coach Casey, welcome to the Hoop Nerds.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited to talk to you. National champion Milwaukee Stormers, Coach Randy Casey. I want to start there because you and I were having a conversation about a month ago and I said I was so jealous of you becoming a national champion. So you have some time away from it now. When you hear that, what thoughts go through your mind? National champion.
Still kind of unbelievable. Sit back and look at the season and just kind of wonder how you got there and what truly was the turning point that was able to take our team to a national championship. So it's still looking back and, you know, wondering how it got done, but obviously happy as heck that it got done.
Do you, or have you been able to pinpoint a turning point or maybe a few points in the season that change from what you've accomplished in the past, knowing that when COVID hit, you were ranked number one in the country and you had a really good team and you were able to now get over the hurdle and win a national championship, some points in the season that were crucial to getting over that hump?
Yeah, well, we were playing pretty well and had a good winning streak going. We went to South Suburban and they just punched us in the mouth, and that was a bad game. We as a team, where our heads were kind of big, and we went into that place and just got a big time reality check. We won some games after that, and then we lost a tough one at home by 3 points to Rock Valley, and was just one of those games where everybody's chirping back and forth, but good basketball. And, lost that close one. And I think that was a little bit of a turning point right there after getting beat by South Sub, and then having that like 5-6 games later and knowing that it was towards the end of our season. I think that was a big turning point for us. And then we had the big game against Bryan and Stratton on ESPN. So that definitely gave us some motivation. And then we go into the playoffs, and playoffs is hosted at Rock Valley. We win our first round game. We get them. So it was kind of a payback time. And, you know, just little things that you hear out there every once in a while. They wanted us because they had beat us at our place. So obviously that was some chalkboard material to give our guys. And, you know, that game at their place, everything just started to click, and it just carried on into the national tournament.
So I want to go back to the loss against Rock Valley at home for you. Yeah. What sorts of things did you address with your team after that game to help a learning movement for them?
It's the point that you have to come ready to play every night. And when you're a team that's had pretty good success that we've had in the last 5 years, we always have a target on the back and everybody wants to come in and beat you. And I don't know if our guys really understood that fully, right? They hear it, but do they really truly hear it and believe it? And so, you know, that was the thing that I talked to him about, knowing that, you know, the games are limited, right? This is, you know, playoffs hit, it's one and done. Your season, your career here could be over.
So you have to teach them that there's a target on your back, because you're at Milwaukee Area Technical College every year, and then every year or two new players come in and they have to learn that. And so those points are really important. But for you, having a target on your back, how has your approach changed from now that you're the top of the league, you're the top of the country, right? And going forward, it's for you to keep progressing so you can continue to have your success.
Yeah, I don't think I change anything. I mean, probably more than anything, put more pressure on myself, not the players, right? To make sure that, you know, I am driving that stuff home. But as you say, players come in, they're gone real quick. Every team is different. Every player is different. So as hard as it is, right, I have to understand that as well. And even though our program's expectations are, you know, we we want to win. We hate losing, right? We have to understand that, you know, each year it is a little bit different, but as a program, teaching them the expectations of our program and what we want to do as a program.
What's one of the expectations you have of your players that you think is foundational to ultimately their individual success, but then your team success as well?
Hard work and dedication. And that's just not on the basketball floor, right? That is in the classroom. That is in life. And again, we're just trying to teach life lessons through basketball, right? Basketball is a good avenue to reach your individual goals. But at the end of the day, no matter whether you make it to the NBA or not, right, that ball is going to stop bouncing sooner or later. You're going to get older. You know, education is the foundation to that can never be taken away. And to try to get these young men to understand that, because as we know, they all want to play professionally, and that is their goal, just to get them to understand that there has to be a plan B. And a lot of obstacles can be overcome if you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to do the grind. And that's in every aspect, not just one, not just basketball, right? It is the whole big picture. And I think that is the biggest thing. I was never myself a top athlete or anything like that. I just prided myself on outworking everybody. So that is what I try to pass on to our players.
All right, we're going to come back and we're going to dive into Coach Casey a little bit. But before we get there, junior college has a perception based on people's backgrounds. And when I was a junior college coach and we were coaching against each other, I felt like I made it my mission to try to overcome that stigma. I'm curious, from your perspective, having been in the junior college world a lot longer than I, why is that perception there? And what do people need to really know about junior college basketball?
I mean, perceptions are from things that have happened in our past, in our history, right? And some people get stuck on that. But then the negative things are always the things that are in the press, right? The good things don't get out there, or if they do get out there, they're minimized, right? And the second good things happen, and then they're followed by a negative, the negative is pushed so much more that, you know, it's hard to break that stigma. But, you know, junior college basketball, junior college alone, not just basketball, education-wise, it's good education. It's a great way to get a start. It is a great way financially for these students to save some money and not acquire so much debt going through college, right? And even in my own family, my oldest boy went straight to a four-year institution, and my daughter came here and said, I'm going to save some money. I'm not going to pay crazy for 4 years, right? I know I can get a good education. And, you know, she transferred onto a four-year institution there. So people truly need to understand that things change in everything, you know, that old stigma is just a stigma, right? There are all different types of people at a two-year institution, and you still can get a good education and save some money and then move on to a four-year and finish your career.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right, let's dive into Coach Casey. As many listeners know, I spent over 6 years as a general manager at Just the Game Fieldhouse in Wisconsin Dells. I was able to spend time talking hoops with coaches like Tom Izzo, along with high school and youth coaches, in addition to meeting some basketball legends, including my childhood favorite, Sam Elke, who is in the WBCA Hall of Fame and High School Basketball Museum, located at Just the Game Fieldhouse, which is a must visit for any true hoop nerd. They also play host to the WBCA All-Star Games and Coaches Clinic every year. Just the Game hosts over 70 basketball and volleyball tournaments annually and is a great place to play for teams of all ages and ability levels. You can't beat all Wisconsin Dells has to offer in your free time. The Fieldhouse also has two sister companies in Just the Game Impressions and Just the Game Live. Just the Game Impressions specializes in customized screen printing and embroidery and promotional products. They serve businesses, schools, sports teams, and more. Just the Game Live takes pride in providing affordable and simple live streaming solutions for venues or programs of all kinds. Inquire today for more information. For more info on everything Just the Game has to offer, check them out at justthegamefieldhouse.com. So, thinking about the breadth of your career, what's something as a coach you believed early in your careers that you over time have changed and now you believe something different?
Well, definitely is the way that basketball itself has been played. I was definitely always a three out and two in type of coach. And man, the way the game just has changed, the way it's played with the 3-point line, I had to adjust. And it was a hard thing for me to do, right? We get stuck in our ways. We get stuck in the way we want to do things. And in 18, 19, when we made the jump from Division III to Division II that allowed us to get scholarships, just in the recruiting class, I just didn't have that, right? I didn't have the inside guys to be able to play that way. And I had to adjust to the team we had and the time that basketball was in, right? And so we started playing four out and one in and more up tempo. And it's just grown every year since then. So that's probably the biggest thing in my career that I had to adjust to and change my beliefs.
All right, you just said play up tempo. Everybody always wants to play fast because that's the way kids want to play. And yeah, we start the season trying to implement these things to play fast. And then in my experience, as the season goes on, we go away from it because when you get to postseason, ultimately you have to be able to execute in the half court. So how are you able to keep the up tempo style throughout the course of a season?
Well, first of all, we have to be, as a coach, we have to be able to accept the turnovers and accept the bad shots, because if you're going to play up tempo, those things are going to happen. If you can't accept those, you just can't play fast. And obviously you have to be able to do both, right? Because of the fact, you know, you're going to get into situations where you have to execute it in the half court set, just like you said. So, you know, that is something we do talk about. We hope that we never get into that situation. That is our goal. But, you know, we do work on making sure that when we get into a half court set, we can execute, because there's going to come a time. We all know that as coaches, but we just hope that it's not very often.
Right. So in practice, when you're working on certain things with your teams, and I'm just going to throw the scenario out there, because when you and I were coaching against each other on defense, you were switching everything.
Yes.
So let's just use that as an example. So in practice, you're playing against someone like me who only switches ball screens or doesn't switch to the extent that you do. How Yes. are you able to incorporate that into practice so you're getting reps against defense alternate than yours, but still teach your defensive concepts so your players are coming forward with them?
Yeah, those are definitely things, in my opinion, that are kind of hard, because you're so used to doing things a certain way, right? And then you're trying to, you know, mimic that in practice. So those things are difficult, and it's just, you know, time consuming, right? That practice may be a little longer because you're going to have mistakes because of the fact of what you're used to doing all the time. So it's trying to repetition and keep working on those things and make sure that you're ready to execute those when the time comes.
Okay. So tell me about a favorite failure of yours, not because you love failing, but because you learned a lesson from it and you were able to move forward and ultimately be better for it afterwards.
Learning to let the reins go a little bit. Man, I was always straight to the line. It has to be this way. It has to go this way. And again, I go back to 18, 19, right? I was, you know, so strict in what we did defensively, right? And, you know, straight man to man and just, you know, do your job, do your due diligence. And probably it was early in that year of a couple losses and being able to take in what your players talk to you and are telling you and really looking at it and letting go and saying, you know what, everything isn't always the same year to year. Everything isn't always perfect. And being able to take their input and really sit back and let yourself go, right? Let your true beliefs go sometimes. We had a kid that led the country in steals. And man, you know, he would break our defense all the time, right? Because he's a gambler, he's going, and the rest of the team wasn't ready for that. He'd go, but our rotations would never be there, right? Because that's not what we were doing. That's not what we're used to. So I just had to buy into that, let it go, and then teach our guys and get them ready for those rotations. So it was probably just learning to let go a little bit and let some of our guys be who they are instead of trying to keep them maybe in a certain little box.
So you just mentioned talking with your players and listening to what they have to say. What arena do those conversations happen in? Are they in your office? Are they in the gym? What sorts of settings or what sorts of structure or non-structure are involved with them?
I think it's all the time, right? I think it's in all those situations. It's game time, it's timeouts, it's halftime. It's truly listening to their input when they come back to the bench and saying, "Coach, they're doing this. We can do this. We can, you know, attack them here, do this defensively here." It is just really listening to all that stuff. It's really listening to all your coaches. My associate coach Travis Morozik has always been a big guy of changing defenses after timeouts, and I would never do it, never do it, never do it. And he just kept, you know, pounding that in. And now we do it once in a while. I'm not saying we do it all the time because I'm still not a fan, but it's just being able to let go and trying something. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Right. And adjust and move on.
All right. I want to transition a little bit because I know you're competitive fire. So whether it's a basketball game or you and I go to play horse for the competition, are you driven by the fear of losing or the joy of winning that competition?
That's a great question. Me, probably personally, the fear of losing. I don't know. And it's probably gotten worse over the years because of the success we've had in the last 5 years, right? In the last 5 years as a program, we went 131-22. So now it's like that one loss seems like we lost 20. It is just different now. And so it is probably really the fear of losing now, because now you're just, the expectations are there even more now. And now it's like, is that one going to become two? Is it going to become five? Right. So it's probably that drives me more.
All right. Last question I'm going to get you out of here with, and I need you to use your imagination a bit. So if you're looking inside of a refrigerator, could be anywhere, what one item inside that refrigerator best identifies with who you are as a person and why?
Probably the hot sauce. Because I am definitely fiery. I get very into the game, very adamant. It is the passion I have for the game. It is never about any particular person or anything. It is just the passion I have for basketball. It's the one thing that has gotten me where I am today. Not sure what else I would do in life besides being involved in athletics. It's the one thing that drove me to get my education. I'm definitely very fiery, very passionate about this game, and sometimes it may come out or people may perceive it the wrong way.
All right. So matcstormers.com is your athletics website. Check out everything they have going on. Go check out the basketball programs this winter. And if anybody wants to come to a game at Madison College when they come to visit, do you come to us this year?
Yes. Yeah. We're at home. So
let me know when we can sit right across from Randy, because it's an entertaining experience now that I'm not across the sideline from you. Well, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on the Hoop Nerds and sharing with us.
Man, I appreciate you having me, Bill. Take care.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. I've been associated with their products for a few years now, and I'm really impressed by their innovative and user-friendly shooting machines. They also are great people with tremendous customer service. It's no wonder why they have become the preferred choice among top programs around the country and world. I'm very grateful for their support of the show. Make sure to check them out at drdishbasketball.com and at Dr. Dish B-Ball on social media. Be sure to mention WBCA when ordering your next Dr. Dish to save an extra $300 off any commercial purchase.